Welcome to the Fresnolandia podcast. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom.
We've got a great show for you today. We're going to answer some more questions from Instagram. Then we're going to be talking to Lilia Chavez, the president of the Fresno Arts Council, about the Art Hop situation downtown, as well as interviewing Juliana Murano about some of the reporting she's done on vendor reactions to the announcement by Councilman Miguel Arias. And then we'll close with what we're loving this week. One of the questions that we got from Instagram was someone asking about the vacant lots on Cesar Chavez Boulevard or Avenue?
Boulevard, which for those not plugged into the news is the new name of the street formerly known as Kings Canyon Road / Ventura Avenue. That street has a hell of an identity crisis.
Okay, so what's going on with these empty lots? Are they going to be filled soon, or do we know anything?
First of all, let me just say this. Every lot has its own particular set of circumstances because they're all owned by different people. And so the person asking the question didn't give us specifics. What about this lot on this corner? So it's hard for us to answer that question specifically. I can give a meta answer.
Yeah, I would love a meta. I love meta answers.
I'm going to give a meta answer. So there's a lot of retail activity at the moment going on at the new Fancher Creek Shopping Center, which is on the further eastern edge of Cesar Chavez Boulevard, formerly known as Kings Canyon Road. There was a Sprouts that's, I think, just opened or about to open, new In-N-Out. There's a movie theater proposed to go there. They're branding it as the River Park of Southeast. And when a lot of that sort of mega retail activity happens in one location, the one sort of residual effect, and again, I'm saying this as a former urban planner who has studied a lot of this stuff in the past, it makes it hard for other retail to necessarily pop up and compete. There's only so much retail that can get built out in Fresno, Clovis, now Madera County every year. I just read a report this morning that said that Fresno can roughly absorb around 40,000 square feet of retail space every year. So it's hard when there's competition. You would maybe think, oh, there's a lot of activity, you're going to see even more. But unless there's more people to go to those businesses, it counterintuitively doesn't mean that more development's going to happen. All of this to say, I don't think that we will necessarily see a lot of those vacant lots along Cesar Chavez fill up in the short term. I know there are a few places where there are some proposals in the works. I think there's a strip mall on Cesar Chavez and near 9th that's getting redeveloped. There's a few other vacancies that are turning into affordable housing, but no sort of large scale plans at the moment.
And if you have questions about a specific lot, you can ask us on Instagram and we will look into it for you. Our next question was from another person on Instagram. They asked what our favorite cocktail in Fresno was. And I'm going to start with this because I care about it quite a bit. My favorite cocktail is at Saison, which I know is the hip restaurant in town, and it's a unique cocktail that I haven't had anywhere else. It's called a Oaxacan Old Fashioned, and it's got this interesting flavor, and it uses a type of liqueur that I love called Amaro, which is essentially high-proof alcohol that's been seeped with various herbs and things. So it has just this the really distinct flavor that I have not found anywhere else in town. Obviously, I'm always happy to get a Negroni at Annex, but the Oaxacan Old Fashioned is my favorite right now.
That sounds delicious. I know I had a cocktail one time there that had mezcal in it. I like anything with mezcal. I will drink anything with mezcal.
Do you like the smoky varieties? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Love anything smoky, spicy, but I'm a basic margarita person. I love CDT Cochina in the tower.
Do you get the flavored one or just the straight up? Because I know they do like different.
They do lots of different flavors.
With like bright colors and
yeah,
things.
Yeah, Liz always has something new cooking up over there in her margarita selection. I like them all. I'm not super picky. Give me a pitcher. I'm super happy.
All right, before we jump into our larger discussion about Art Hop this week, Donnie, what are some of the important headlines that people should know about things going on in Fresno?
Yeah, one of the big headlines this week has been the local reaction to a Supreme Court decision that was handed down a few weeks ago around how local governments can and cannot criminalize people who are homeless, who are sleeping in public spaces. Basically, the decision that came down a few weeks ago said that if you're a city and a county or a state, you can start penalizing people who sleep in public spaces, you can potentially jail them. And so we're starting to see that. Thursday of last week, Governor Newsom announced that state agencies can now begin the process of sweeping homeless encampments off of state property. A lot of these encampments are often under freeway bridges, highway bridges, so that will be pretty impactful. We saw Fresno County Supervisor Steve Brandow announce his own ordinance with the support of Fresno County Sheriff Zanoni for that, and that would also criminalize people who are homeless from sleeping on county property. The city, not to be outdone by the county, announced, oh, we're working on our version too, don't worry. So we're going to be seeing a lot of policies rolled out in the next few weeks. Fresno County, Fresno City, I'm sure the Clovis will follow, basically making it nearly impossible if you're homeless to be sleeping in a public space. It opens up a lot of questions for those that work with homeless people around where they go. Fresno County has 34 shelter beds. There are, on any given day, about 600-ish homeless people in Fresno County, plus or minus a few hundred. And so there's a lot of questions about where we go from here. We are joined this afternoon by Lilia Chavez, who is the executive director of the Fresno Arts Council, and who has been, the Arts Council has been the official curator of Art Hop since its inception. And Lilia, we wanted to first just understand, what's the history of Art Hop? Where did it begin? When did it happen? Who started it? Tell us a little bit about the history.
There's really many different stories about who started Art Hop. So it depends on who you talk to. But Art Hop started around 1995, just with gallery owners coming together and wanting to exchange ideas and visit each other's galleries. And it was very casual and informal. And they would have potlucks to come together. And as that evolved and more people became aware, in 1996, the Fresno Arts Council obtained a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts to formalize Art Hop and to market it so that it would become a broader activity that would include many more galleries within the city of Fresno. The folks, some people say it started at Sorensen's, some people say it started at the Bus Barn. It really was the Bus Barn people that initiated Art Hop. And it was after their initiation that the Arts Council developed it further.
And was it always downtown, or did it always have somewhat of a scattered geographic location to it?
As I said, it originated downtown in the old Bus Barn area, but it really grew immediately after we received the National Endowment for the Art funding. We then began inviting galleries from throughout the city. And that's why we have two Art Hop nights. We have First Thursday and Third Thursday. And First Thursday is downtown and the Tower District. And Third Thursday is the greater Fresno area. So when I hear people say that it's now grown to the Tower District, it didn't grow to the Tower District recently. It's been in the Tower District for a long time. And in fact, there was a time when it was in the Tower District that it was really lively, and many of the Tower District merchants were actively involved in promoting it. But as some of the business in the Tower District has changed over time, there isn't that same level of participation.
What's the Fresno Art Council's official relationship to Art Hop?
Okay. The Fresno Arts Council has been managing it, as I said, since 1996. And our primary purpose was to assist local galleries to be able to market themselves more fully. When we look at the benefit of Art Hop, what Art Hop does, it consistently invites people to come out and visit galleries. and gallery owners that who choose to be aligned with Art Hop, they sign up to be in the Art Hop brochure and to be announced in the bi-monthly Art Hop marketing e-blast that lists all the shows that everyone is doing. So the Arts Council primarily is marketing galleries. The Arts Council, unique to recognize, is generally not a presenter. The Arts Council is a support to the field. So our role is to hear from the arts community, identify what their needs are, and then help support them do what they want to do. And in this case, they wanted to have more people come out and visit galleries by marketing them. That's exactly what we've done over the years.
I would love to hear a little bit more about who goes to Art Hop and how that's changed over time. I know when I moved back to Fresno after I graduated from college in 2007, I went to my first Art Hop when I was about 21 or 22, and it was in someone's living room on Huntington Boulevard, and there was wine and cheese, and I think it was advertised in some blog post, probably, because this is the 2000s, and it was not like a place for young 20-somethings, but then if you went to Broadway Studios, as long as I can remember, Broadway Studios has always been a great party. So like, how has the attendance and the people who attend Art Hop, how has that changed over time?
Yeah, one of the things when you asked what is the role of the Arts Council, and our role is specifically marketing, as I said. And every venue that chooses to be an Art Hop creates their own experience. Some venues will choose, and when we think about the type of venue that might participate in Art Hop, the only requirement to be an official Art Hop venue is that you agree to show art on first or third Thursday in your space, work with an individual artist to help promote their, make sure that work is available for sale, and then provide some light refreshment. Over the years, that's transitioned. The light refreshment used to always be wine and cheese. It was really nice. Some people were concerned about alcohol being served at Art Hop. But when we have venues sign an agreement to participate in Art Hop, they agree that they will monitor any serving of alcohol and they will not serve to underage individuals. It really cruised along very nicely as an inviting event for everyone. People talk about Art Hop as being family friendly, and it certainly was, because you see moms and dads with their kids coming out to Art Hop, young people, senior citizens, people of all ages come out to Art Hop. And Art Hop is inside in venues that show art. That is Art Hop. A lot of people, as Fulton Street evolved, started saying, I'm going to Art Hop. And they would go for the street fair on Fulton. And that happened in a variety of different ways. That really didn't take off until maybe probably the last 10 years or so. Just before COVID, it started, and Fulton started to take on its own look for Art Hop. And a lot of folks would say, oh, I went to Art Hop. It was really fun. And I'll say, oh, what gallery did you go to? Oh, I didn't see any galleries. And I'm like, how did you miss the galleries? And they said, I just went down the street, that main street downtown. And I'm like, then you missed Art Hop. I'm glad you went out and I'm glad you had a good time, but you really missed Art Hop. Art Hop has evolved to now be two events. It's the events that happen in galleries, which continues, and gallery owners continue to have a lot of folks come out and visit them. And it changes with the weather. If it's really hot out, a lot of folks don't come out. If it's really cold, you have lower participation. If it's rainy, they don't come out. But for the most part, galleries continue to hold their own during Art Hop. The Fulton Street Fair is more of vendors. It's become a vendor fair. And I think as we saw it evolve, people asked us as the Arts Council, why do you let that happen? And it was like, we're not letting it or not letting it. It's evolved organically because of multiple reasons. Probably the primary reason, and we saw this before COVID, is California state law allows vendors to sell on public right-of-ways as long as they have proper licensing and permits, and if it's food, they have health department clearance. So as long as they have those things, they can set up anywhere. So it isn't our role as the Arts Council to try and be, and I use this term often, the Art Hop police. That's not our job. Our job is to market and support local artists. And that includes those young artists that are selling trinkets on Fulton Street or outside of storefronts where there's a gallery. And it can happen any place. But it's that state regulation that made all the vendors possible.
As the event has morphed into the street fair, have the venues seen an increase in traffic and sales of art as a result?
I don't think they've seen an increase because those people that come just for Fulton Street are coming just for Fulton Street. And those people who are truly looking for an art experience, they're going to the galleries. They check the Art Hop brochure to see what venues are open and what's being exhibited. They call our office. They read the e-blast. They know that they're coming downtown for a visual art experience. And sometimes they'll get a musical art experience, or there might be a poetry reading at one of the venues. So it is multidisciplinary in that sense. When we started seeing Fulton Street evolve and folks suggested that we shut it down, my concern was that when I was growing up, we used to cruise Belmont or we cruised the Roding Park Circle. Those opportunities are no longer available for under 21 kids, young people. And so I drive out on Fulton Street before I leave, because Art Hop officially closes at 8 o'clock. But before COVID, people started this after Art Hop, and they were staying later and later. But officially, Art Hop closes at 8 o'clock. So when I leave our venue at 8 o'clock, I drive down Fulton just to see what it looks like. Is it scary? Is it safe? Who's out here? And the majority of people that I see out on Fulton Street are an under 21 crowd. And it's free as long as it's safe. They're cruising, not like we cruised, but they're walking up and down Fulton Street. They're meeting kids from other parts of town. They're meeting kids from other cities. That's exactly what we did. So it's a free opportunity for young people to do something that's positive and constructive. They're not hurting anybody. And so that's why we have never taken the position that we want to shut it down.
And It's fun to hear you talk about the cruising and how that relates, because that analogy makes a lot of sense to me. And I remember when I went to Art Hop in maybe 2016, it was the first time that I had seen sort of the beginnings of the street festival era of Art Hop, if you will. And it was, as a person, and I know you've been similarly working on trying to bring life to downtown for many decades of your career. And it was like amazing to see this almost organic showing of so many young people that were drawn to downtown, and what a beautiful thing. And so I think there is now, because of what the city has now announced through Councilmember Arias's proposal to temporarily shut down outdoor vending until a different solution has come to, I think there's this now question about the future of Art Hop and who it's for. And so I'm curious, from your perspective at the Arts Council, how do you preserve this very needed thing that young people need in our community, this amazing outgrowth of our arts community and arts economy? Like, how do you preserve that? And what are the concerns that you feel like need to be mitigated as we go forward?
Yeah. I've said this to representatives of the police department and to representatives of the health department and to city officials. Art Hop and the street festival that has evolved on Fulton Street can continue to be successful if all of the government entities stay in their lane and do their job. And what I mean by that is that we have a lot of food vendors out there that may or may not have the proper health department clearance. And if they don't have the proper health department clearance and someone gets sick out there because they ate something that wasn't properly prepared, that's a problem. So it's incumbent upon the health department to schedule people to be out there, even if they're just doing spot checks. And they don't have to do them every first Thursday, but maybe they do it quarterly. But unannounced spot checks, it just takes a few people to get busted for not doing the right thing to cause the others to step up and do it right. If the police department, and I know this is a touchy subject because there's cost involved to these things, whether it's having people work overtime from the health department to be there after five, but that's why you have different shifts. Instead of coming in at 9 o'clock, come in later so you can be on the Art Hop shift. But that's my simplistic solution. But I recognize that everybody is trying to figure this out. But if each group involved gives a little to figure out how to make it work, I think it's possible. The police department, I don't want them out there scaring people, but just their presence, making sure that sidewalks are clear and safe and that roadways are not being obstructed. If they're just monitoring the area, again, people will do the right thing, but sometimes they only do the right thing when they're being watched. And so watch them. That's the same as true for any other city issues. And I realize that maintenance is another part of this when you get too many people out there. And maybe you don't get too many people because you restrict the distance that vendors can be from one another, those kinds of things. So you allow it to continue to happen, but you put in some regulations to control it. because if people are responsible for picking up after themselves, then, and they're expected to do, then that would help reduce the cleanup. But the way I see it, if everyone works together to come up with a solution and everyone does their part, we don't have to shut it down. But that's the question. What is the will for us
of the solution? And I think what I'm hearing from you is, from your perspective, if safety of both from a police perspective and a food safety perspective, if those two things are addressed, that you're still supportive of a expand art hop that blends art venue, official art venues, and a street festival?
Yeah, I think, because what also happens is those young people that come to the Arts Council office and they say, where's art hop? Is this art hop? Because the Arts Council is announced as art hop. They get in their hand a brochure that sends them to all these other art venues. And some of them, without intending to, go and experience amazing art from our community. And they miss what happened on Fulton, or they eventually wind their way back. But people experience something that was a surprise. And the same is true for maybe the senior citizen that walks down Fulton Street where all the young people are at, and they experience a engaged youth community that is actively sharing their art with others. And that's a cool thing too. We should be introduced to things that we're not expecting sometimes, and we grow from it.
Yeah, I'll share one story. I had a former student that I taught years ago who messaged me asking me, and he's a budding artist at Fresno State, like where he should go to see art. And I asked him if they'd ever been to Art Hop, and he was from Madera, so he said he'd never been. And so he went for the first time, and he sent me this long email after about all the people that he met and how inspired he was to continue to do his art and pursue it in a professional capacity. And I think those kind of moments are so important and so underrated for what we need to do as a city to keep inspiring artists to produce. And so I think Art Hop touches so many people in ways that we just never hear about, but I know exist. And so I guess to close, I would ask you, where do you hope Art Hop goes from here? What's your vision for it 5 years from now?
Art Hop, in its original form, inside of galleries, inside of art venues, or in venues that are exhibiting art, I hope that it continues to do that. If there's a street component, that's fine, but it's not necessary. I think I would like to see more venues that do provide more multidisciplinary presentations. Art Hop, and for some of the purists, was established for visual art. It was in galleries. Those were the folks that initiated it. But when you add a musical component or poetry reading or even street theater, all those things could happen so that it's more of an art festival. And, you know, I have nothing against entrepreneurs and vendors, but we started when we first saw that more vendors were coming, and they would ask us, they would call us at the Arts Council and see if they could get a permit to vend. And we would say, what's your art? Oh, I don't have art. I sell soft drinks. And I would say, if you want to sell soft drinks, that's fine. And if you have all the licenses and permits to do that, but this is Art Hop. So what could you do to add an art component to what you're offering? Because this isn't about selling soft drinks. This is about art. And I even said this to an insurance salesman who wanted to set up his booth at Art Hub. I said, where's your art? And he found a potter with a potter's wheel to be in his booth that he set up at the Cultural Arts Park so that he would have an art component. So that's what I would like to see. I would like to see Art Hub fully dedicated to the art.
Really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. And I know Donnie and I really appreciate all the work that the Fresno Arts Council does in the city and the work that you do specifically.
Yeah, thank you, Lilia. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for the opportunity.
This week, we're going to talk about yet another hot issue that has taken over Fresno, and that is the announcement made last Friday by Fresno City Council member Miguel Arias to temporarily shut down outdoor vending at August Art Hop in a move that he said was really about extreme heat.
I saw the pun there, by the way. It's definitely a hot issue, but not in that way.
No, and I think everyone, or most everyone, saw through the heat reason for pausing on outdoor vending at Art Hop. Not that it's not going to be very hot. I think today it's 108 degrees as we record, but that this is surfacing a much larger issue around the tensions that have grown over the last several months, last year or two, around who is Art Hop for? Is Art Hop an art event? Is it a street fair? Is it both? And so his move made on Friday angered a lot of vendors, a lot of businesses. And here to talk about this with Fresno Land today on our podcast is Juliana Morano, Fresno Land's labor and economy reporter. Juliana, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me back.
And so what's the mood? What's the vibe amongst vendors in response to this proclamation by Councilman Arias?
Yeah, I've had the chance to speak with a few so far. And Donnie said people are seeing through this justification that it's about heat safety. One person I spoke with, she shared she's also a farm worker. She works in the fields, and then she comes to sell her crafts at Art Hop. So she's accustomed to working in heat. A lot of these vendors are. That's just par for the course in Fresno. I think what I've heard is that people have come to depend on this source of income. One artist couple I spoke with today said that back when they used to have a studio, one Art Hop would pay their rent and take care of their rent for the studio for the month. So this is definitely going to be a setback for a lot of people who have just come to depend on this. And also the timing of this announcement, I think, is causing issues for people as well. This press conference Arias called was about 2 weeks before the August 1st Art Hop, and that's not really adequate time to account for that lost income.
That makes a lot of sense. And we spoke earlier with Lilia Chavez, who runs the Fresno Arts Council and who has been the official curator of Art Hop and the venues that help the artists present their work. And something that came up in that conversation, and hearing all of this, It makes me think, who ultimately gets to decide what Art Hop is and who it's for? And Juliana, I'm curious, how has this come up in the conversations you've had with vendors and other folks and with the city? Who gets to make these decisions?
I think this kind of abrupt press conference raised that question for a lot of people. My understanding is that the indoor component of Art Hop that takes place in galleries, that's the Fresno Arts Council's jurisdiction. The street fair that takes place outside, no one has really harnessed it exactly yet, but technically it's like taking place on city streets and sidewalks. So they're on the line for what happens, but they haven't. Until now, I think that's what it sounds like the motivation is. They're trying to rein things in because they're on the line for policing and cleanup and whether or not they're permitted. I think in Arias's press conference, policing in particular was one of the major concerns.
But there haven't been any publicly reported incidents that have caused this, have there?
Not that I'm aware of, and I think he emphasized in the press conference, like, we're thankful that there haven't been any big issues, but it sounds like they're trying to get ahead of anything. He also mentioned that, like, on those nights, the police that are on duty are stretched thin, especially as what he called the footprint of Art Hop has grown and grown
to cover
more and more territory.
Who picks up trash? If there's trash after this, who does that? Do we know who does that?
I don't.
Is it city employees or like city employees literally picking up after an event of 15,000 people?
The Downtown Fresno Partnership does have some staff that do some cleanup as part of their responsibilities because they're a PBID and the property owners pay into that.
Yeah.
But it's been my understanding that the trash that's created post Art Hop is above and beyond what would be a normal routine day of picking up trash.
And I can understand that if I have a brick and mortar and
right.
I walk out, I'm a coffee shop, for example, I'm going to open up the next morning and I walk out and there's vomit and trash like right in front of my doorstep. Like I would be pissed off too. Mm-hmm. I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
But what's the solution there?
I'm glad you brought that up because the Downtown Partnership, or at least wants to have a role in this, but right now they haven't been assigned anything per se. They work with vendors.
What would be their role if they had one?
So I think that the Downtown Partnership wants to step up as an organization that knows how to do events downtown and has good relationships with the city, would want to help with the organizing vendors and making sure people are permitted and things like that. And I will add that last week we talked about Measure P, one of the applications that the Downtown Partnership submitted and had denied had to do with playing a bigger role and getting funding to do so in organizing the outdoor component of Art Hop. But I think based on conversations with Elliot Balch, the president of the Downtown Partnership, I think they're still interested in maybe stepping up if kind of the pieces align.
And the city's working on a plan. That's my understanding. Do you understand they're soliciting to get feedback in this plan? Or is this part of Fresno's tradition of secretive meetings where they decide things?
I've talked to Councilmember Arias about this, and he's working in partnership with other city departments and other legislators at City Hall. And where they're at right now is they're currently contemplating a two-event framework.
Okay.
So Art Hop would remain arts-focused, and then there would be a separate.
Okay, so divorcing the two.
And for him, what he has said has been a priority is to make sure that outdoor vending is preserved and in a way that doesn't put the onus of the cost of policing, of trash collection, of as long as you have a permit, you're good to go. And so that making it a low cost event for vendors. But I think the question that I certainly have, and I think I would assume that a lot of other folks have in the community, is if you separate the two, does it lose the magic and the vibrancy and the organic thing that has become Art Hop today? And I think that's a concern. Yeah, Juliana, I'm just curious how this has come up in your reporting.
Yeah, because I've been able to ask people, like, what do you think about that potential solution? One person I spoke with is Mike Oz of Fresno Street Eats.
As a disclosure, Mike Oz is a member of Fresnoland's board.
And he was talking about, like, over the years witnessing this ballooned into something huge and how it goes hand in some ways with trying to breathe new life into Fresno's downtown and having this thing that draws thousands of people downtown very organically. If changing that would just kind of cancel that much needed momentum for downtown. So I think that's a concern about that potential solution.
I don't know what would happen if it became two separate events. I don't know if there's something about the habit of the first Thursday of the month that's ingrained into all of our psyches, and we just know you go downtown or go into the tower. But I worry about that too, and because I've been around Fresno for a long time. The first time I moved back to Fresno was in 2007, and I lived downtown at that time, and there wasn't this vibrancy, and we very much was craved as a young 20-something wanting to do things for fun. And so when I came back to Fresno the second time, I think the street festival began maybe 2015, 2016, around that time. And it was amazing. It was incredible. And all of a sudden, I was the old person at Art Hop, and it was so amazing to see. And it's really hard to replicate that kind of energy.
Yeah, I think if they separate it, it'll probably be the galleries that hurt the most, right?
But going back to our conversation with Lilia, what she told us, and Juliana, I'm curious how you've seen this in your reporting, but she said that the galleries didn't really see much of a difference of traffic or sales.
I wonder how would they know that? Are they soliciting qualitative feedback from people coming in? Like, how did you get here?
Yeah.
If you're just like walking down the street when you stumble in because you came to the street festival and you see a gallery door open, like, it's really hard to evaluate why someone is in your gallery. Did you sense that they understand why people are coming?
This is somewhat separate, but I think an important distinction that one vendor made to me is like that artists are not exclusively in the indoor spaces, and that there are artists who also sell their work and display their work outside. And this artist, Crystal Rocha, is an example of that. She's a painter and visual artist, and she's also a co-founder with her partner of something called Rehop, which is something that formed after a couple art hops in a row were rained out in 2023, and they similarly couldn't afford different payments because they were missing out on that reliable income.
Juliana, first of all, finish what you were saying about Rehop, because I think that's interesting. But what is there a meta conversation here about what is art?
I think, yeah, because I don't know. I think that goes beyond Fresno, creating a hierarchy within the arts between fine art that's in these revered spaces versus like whether art can just live and exist regardless of institutional sanctioning and like enshrinement. So I do think that's kind of part of this conversation. I don't know if people are saying that out loud as much, but I think some of the language suggests that people see crafts as not art, where I think those vendors would disagree. I think maybe some Fresnans would also disagree. And
I would disagree.
Yeah.
I think it's just the venue that it's showcased in attach a certain meaning to what it is.
And if I could add another dimension to this, so putting my urban planning hat on for a second, what Art Hop has become is what a lot of planners call like placemaking. And this organic energy of food vendors and people selling bracelets or prints or what they're making, it's all part of the creative economy, whether it's fine art, visual art, performance art or not. And it's helping create a distinct identity for downtown. And I think that's a really important part of what makes cities meaningful to people. And I know a lot of people have derived a lot of interest in downtown because of that. And that's not something to negate, I think, in this whole conversation.
We want people to have as many positive experiences downtown as possible, because then that translates in their head, oh, hey, maybe there's not Art Hop, but I had such a good time and I saw this restaurant when I was walking around down there the other night, so let's go back down there. Like, we want people to have those positive experiences.
And especially in a place that's so suburban, like the Fresno area, where there's so few opportunities that we get in our daily lives in Fresno because we're such a car-centric city, to just run into someone that you hadn't seen in a while on the street or, you know, at the same vendor, or, you know, that's just so rare. And I think that's part of what makes it so special here, is because this is our one chance to get like urban life. Let us keep it.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend who moved to town, went to Art Hop a couple months after living here, and after attending Art Hop said, I didn't know this many people lived in Fresno, and it's the most people I've ever seen in one place at one time in Fresno.
So where do we go from here, Juliana? When do we expect to see something from the city?
At the July 19th press conference, Councilmember Arias said that, because part of it is they have not committed to making all the indefinite Art Hops indoor only. They said this was only in place for August 1st, and they'd reevaluate depending on how that goes. And he also said in that press conference they would want to have an update for people at least 2 weeks before the September 1st Art Hop. So that's all I know right now.
Yeah.
Great.
Juliana, what are you loving this week?
So this past week, I read a graphic novel called Mouse by Art Spiegelman. Mm. It was actually a recommendation of my coworker, Pablo. And I think One, it's like devastating, one of the most amazing things I've ever read. But it also made me think differently about memoir in general. I think it's always ethically challenging to write about your own family, especially when you have a complicated relationship. But I think the way that the writer and cartoonist of Mouse handles that is extraordinary. It showed me it could be like an act of love for someone, the way you write about them. So that's what I'm loving.
I love that book and I love the art. It's so fantastic. Me too. Donnie, what are you loving this week?
So we are in tomato season, right in the middle of the best part of the summer. And I get my tomatoes and other produce from this wonderful farm stand on Clinton, west of the 99, just past Mark's on the north side of the street. I believe the official name is called Say Berry Farm, but it's far more than berries, although during strawberry season, they are amazing. But they have the Sun Golds, which I make into a Sun Gold pasta that's excellent with shallots, caramelized shallots. They have three or four different types of tomatoes. It's so wonderful. Mm. Highly recommend.
I think we're always on a similar wavelength. Mine this week is roasting my own coffee. I've always been a coffee nerd. Part of that is just being in San Francisco in the mid-2000s when Blue Bottle and Ritual were on the come up. But I've never considered roasting my own beans at home. And then I found like a coffee roaster on Amazon for less than $200. And I've started ordering green beans from Sweet Maria's, which is a place in Oakland that does wholesale but also small shipments of green beans, and it's fantastic. Not only am I saving money because it's quite cheaper to roast your own coffee, I can also roast it in the exact way that I want. And so I've really dialed in the roast level, and I know I have friends that do it with popcorn poppers and even pans, so there's a lot of different ways you can do it, but this machine that I bought has made it really simple, and I'm just loving my home roasted coffee right now.
Amazing.
That's the show for today. Thank you all for listening.
Today's podcast was co-hosted by Jordan and Donnie. Our guest is Juliana Murano. It was edited and mixed by Jordan Maddox. The music comes from local band Stateless Rat. The art for our podcast comes from Von Bellinon, and we recorded this at Sun Stereo Warehouse in downtown Fresno.